As we start our time of reflection today, I want to mention where I'm coming from. This room I actually sat in a couple weeks ago for a different sermon in which I was talking about hopes and change and things like that. And at that time, it was full of just different items that we weren't using but could use in different ways. And since then, those items have all been repurposed and they have new meaning and new ways of being used in ministry for the coming year. And I am in a room that we are hoping to turn into a crib room for expanding our nursery ministries. And so behind me is a little bit of a rainbow, and we're almost at that phase where we're ready to get it set up for the little ones. And it just, it's been a delight to see just within a couple of weeks the transformation of this room and being reminded of the ways that God continues to work and the people of Crosswinds United Methodist Church. So when you're ever able to come to church in person, I encourage you to stop by my office, because this is the room right next to my office, and you can see what's happening and taking shape in this building. All right, so today's sermon itself is a little bit about as we continue on with our sermon series on prayer, it's about thanking God and thanking one another. So I've been thinking a little bit about thank you notes. Now, I actually really enjoy writing thank you notes. Some of you may have already gotten thank you notes from me, maybe not. I tend to go in spurts. Maybe some of you do with your own projects. You get like really excited about doing them, and then they kind of go up and down and how many times you're doing thanking or not thanking. But what for me with thank you notes, where I really excel at thank you notes is when I'm genuinely excited, because I just feel genuinely grateful for someone doing something. And I just want to thank them. I'm just so grateful. And so I write this thank you note. That's when thank you notes go really well for me. When thank you notes don't go really well is when I have been given gifts and I feel like the thank you is this kind of obligatory response, like, oh boy, this person did something nice for me, so I better show them how grateful I am, even if I may or may not feel. And I have to tell you that that takes a lot more work for me. I wish I was better at genuinely feeling thankful all the time, but sometimes, you know, when it's just a sense of duty, it's a lot harder to crank them out. And I'm guessing I'm not alone in that struggle. The struggle is real. And I give thanks for everyone's graciousness, right? That we realize we have these ups and downs. I know that for each of us, because I just mentioned about kind of thanking people when you've received a gift, we all have these different feelings, right? About giving gifts and being thanked and thanking others when we receive gifts. But one particular example of gift giving that has stuck out in my mind actually comes from a TV show called The Big Bang Theory. Now, whether or not you've seen The Big Bang Theory doesn't really matter. If you have, then you'll enjoy the reference that I have here. But in this particular series, there are two characters. One is named Sheldon and one is named Penny, and they are neighbors. Now, Penny is the kind of character who just likes to go out and live life. And so she'll do things because she just thinks, like, that would be awesome and that would be wonderful. Sheldon, however, is got his systems. And the world is very justice and fairness oriented for Sheldon. Like, if this happens, then this must be the response. I mean, it is all written down to codes for Sheldon. And there's this one episode in The Big Bang Theory pretty early on in the relationship for Sheldon and Penny, who are neighbors, where Penny decides she's going to give Sheldon a Christmas gift. And she makes the mistake of telling him in advance that she has gotten him this Christmas gift and looks forward to giving it to him. And instead of being grateful, Sheldon goes, "I can't believe you've done this. Now I have to give you a gift. And what am I going to do? And, you know, this is a very unfair thing you have done to me, Penny." And of course, Penny is taken a little back. But Sheldon believes this transaction must go forward, right? And so Sheldon creates this plan for how he's going to respond to Penny's gift, because he doesn't really know what the gift is going to be. And so he better be ready to reciprocate and make sure whatever the monetary value of the gift is, he responds with the same amount of monetary gift. And he drags his friends to the store and he buys all these different dollar arrange gift baskets. So that way, whatever Penny gives him, he can go to his room and pull out the exact kind of gift and give it back to her. And so the moment comes, he has his room full of gift baskets, ready to reciprocate and make sure there is an equal transaction, where Penny shows up and she has this gift and he opens it up and anyways, it winds up being, in this case, it is a gift that is of unestimable worth for Sheldon. He is blown away. It didn't actually cost Penny a lot of money, but it is an item of incredible significance for Sheldon. And he just is blown away that she could figure out how to get him such a meaningful gift that he runs to his bedroom and he comes out with all of the gift baskets. And she, of course, is overwhelmed because this isn't a high dollar amount gift, but he's so excited about this gift that he throws all of these gift baskets onto Penny and she's like, Sheldon, what are you doing? And he says, I know, it's not enough. And the scene ends. And what delights me about that particular moment in the sitcom is that sense of playing around with, well, first of all, how we all navigate giving gifts, right, and saying thanks, but also how sometimes in even those of us who feel like the most litigious about fair transactions and making it sure it's all reciprocal, every once in a while we have those moments where we are just so delighted and taken aback that where we say, wow, this is, I could never say thank you enough. And I think that moment that Sheldon has with Penny kind of cracks away at what it means to genuinely feel like unbridled thankfulness and gratitude. And kind of, I think, what the psalmist is getting at in our scripture lesson today, as well as what our journey is in expressing our thanks to God. So I want us now to take a little bit of time thinking about what does it mean to not only express gratitude to maybe our friends or be better recipients of gifts and actually receive them as genuine gifts or give them as real gifts, but also to think about how are we cultivating gratitude in our life? You know, because we know intellectually, we know that if we're more grateful, that usually our feelings of health go up, right? We know things like if I have this attitude of gratitude, we often find that our relationships are happier and that our family members do better. Intellectually, we all know these things. It's not like we walk around thinking, I want to be, you know, just upset and miserly. But genuine gratitude is something that can be hard to maintain in our lives when life gets so hard, so hard. So first of all, I want us to think about, like, when was the last time that you genuinely felt thankful about something? Not forced, not like I have to because this person is waiting for me to say, oh, thank you very much. But that you really, really thought, this is wonderful. You know, I am so grateful for whatever is happening. Or maybe looking back at the previous day, like, wow, that was really wonderful. I want you to take a moment to think about, when was the last time I genuinely had this unforced feeling of thankfulness? And if you have to go back in your mind and think for more than a week, I want you to do a couple of things for me, okay? The first is, in just a few short minutes, after I get through these 4 points, I want you to unplug this video and unplug from all electronics, okay? But first, let me tell you the other couple steps before you turn this video off and come back to me. I want you to unplug, and I want you to give yourself time to do something that regenerates your soul, that is not electronics, okay? I'm not saying electronics are bad. I'm just saying physically remove yourself from electronics for a while so you're not getting bombarded by the ads or the stimulation, right? And choose something that is going to regenerate you. And you can figure out what that means, right? Whether it's going for a walk or spending some time with someone you enjoy, whatever it is. The next point, so the first is unplug. The second is do something to regenerate. The third is give yourself a good meal. okay? Take time to eat some food that is nourishing to your body. And the fourth is get a good night's sleep, okay? I want you to go do those things for me. Now you can stop this video if you can't think of anything you're thankful for and come back a bit later. All right, now if you're still with me, this is why I think those key things are important in my own life. One is, one comes from my spiritual director about the doing something that helps you regenerate. That is probably the main thing she always harps on me about in my spiritual direction time. What are you doing to play? What are you doing to find joy? What are you doing that's not this sense of productive, egoic self? Like, engage yourself in some of those activities, because that is when God is allowed to really just be fully present in your life, and that joy emerges, right? And that you are able to re-harness some of that sense of gratitude. The other point about eating a good meal is that I'm a really simple person, and sometimes when I'm hungry, I'm just grumpy. Or sometimes if I haven't had genuinely nourishing food, right? That's the right food for my body, or that I find pleasure in, that I just need a snack. I've often thought that if some people have asked me if I write a book, what would it be? The first would be take a nap, and the second would be eat a snack. But it's really very basic. And I find that half the time when we give ourselves time to do that, then we put some actual fuel in our bodies, in our tank, to then tackle the things about feeling thankful. And then, of course, the next one is get a good night's sleep, right? It's really sometimes that straightforward, isn't it? Isn't it? Just taking a deep breath, getting some rest. It's kind of why God said one of the Ten Commandments was to take a Sabbath every week, you know? Remember that the world does not rest on your shoulders. It's going to be okay if you tap out for a while. Now, 9 times out of 10, I have found that those simple practices are really all it takes for me to start feeling unforced thankfulness. Sometimes it is more than that. Sometimes it is a sense of you might be in a place where maybe you need some medical help, right? And that is very real, and that's a different category. And if that's in a place where if you do those things and you're like, this is not it, then come talk to me, because maybe the conversation is about needing some medical attention and we want to take that seriously. But if you find that a lot of these other things were enough, then I found when I'm not in a place of needing medical attention that really it is as straightforward as having the right rhythms for my body and my soul and having space to just breathe is all it takes for me to start feeling a sense of thankfulness. And it may not be as exciting as feeling like the rooftops of every, you know, like Julie Andrews' Sound of Music, like I'm so excited about the world, but it's often enough where you're like, I'm just really grateful for that lovely meal I had, or the fact that I don't feel so tired anymore, right? And you remember something that you just enjoyed in that time of your regenerative activity, whatever it was. And it opens our hearts and our minds to then, I think, experiencing what the psalmist is getting at with this sense of giving thanks for God. Because let's face it, God does not demand thank you notes of us. God is not saying, you didn't thank me enough for this, or why do you not appreciate enough of this? But God, I do think that God delights in our genuine, unforced thankfulness of him because of the relationship that we have with God, right? And just like a parent finding delight when one's child genuinely enjoys whatever the gift is, right? And has that excitement on their face, like, this is so wonderful, or this is so amazing. You know, I think God enjoys seeing us feel so excited or so thankful for whatever life has. Because as the psalmist says, we are to remember to know that the Lord is God. He made us and we belong to him. We are his people, the sheep of his own pasture, because the Lord is good. His loyal love lasts forever. His faithfulness lasts generation after generation. So this day, as we remember who God is, I hope that you have moments of feeling thankful. And if not, take a break, eat a snack, and get a good night's sleep. And I'll see you tomorrow. Take care and God bless. Bye.